Up next from the Center for Social Innovation at Stanford University, host Sheila Setharaman speaks with Tomas Ricart, Executive Director of Enseña Chile. Ricart talks about his organization's efforts to create educational change in Chile using the Teach for America model on Social Innovation Conversations.
Hi, I'm Chris Deigelmeyer, the Executive Director of the Center for Social Innovation.
And I'm Eric Nee, the Managing Editor of the Stanford Social Innovation Review.
Welcome to Social Innovation Conversations. Today, we're excited to introduce a new interview by Sheila Setharaman in our Design for Change series. Sheila Setharaman is a correspondent of the Center for Social Innovation, a department of the Stanford Graduate School of Business that educates leaders to solve the world's toughest social and environmental issues. She asked accomplished social entrepreneurs how they design and run their organizations for impact.
And now, here's our presentation from the Design for Change interview series.
Welcome to Design for Change, where we talk to innovators who are creating sustainable models for social change. This is your host, Sheila Setharaman. Today, Tomas Ricart, Executive Director of Enseña Chile, is on our show. His organization is part of the Teach for All network, doing pioneering work in Latin America to transform education. We are delighted he can be with us today. Welcome, Tomas.
Thank you very much, Sheila. I'm very delighted to be with you too.
So we were fortunate a couple of years ago to have Wendy Kopp, the founder and CEO of Teach for America, on our show here, Design for Change. And I know that your organization is part of the Teach for All network, which is essentially incubated within Teach for America, follows some of the same ideas and probably essentially implements a similar model to some degree. Tell us about your organization. What does it do?
Enseña Chile basically has the mission of recruiting outstanding professionals, young professionals, that will go for 2 years to teach in vulnerable schools in the same condition as any teacher, with basically two objectives. The first objective is to transform their classroom. Basically, in the same environment in which students today are, we believe that it is possible to increase student achievement significantly and regarding the limitations of the environment they have. And second is to create a critical mass of professionals. Basically, we hope that the leaders of tomorrow will have the experience of being in a classroom for 2 years, because we think that the only way to change the system is having the future leaders of our country having experience what happens every day in a classroom. So if they have the conviction that every student can and must learn, they will be then politicians, teachers, businessmen, journalists, for example, and they will advocate in different ways, in very innovative ways, to create a systemic change. That is our mission and our two main objectives.
It's very interesting how you got involved with this work. I understand you have, you know, you met Wendy Kopp some years ago and you had this aha moment. Tell us about that. So what were you doing before this work? And then, you know, how did this all come about?
I worked for 4 years and a half with low-income municipalities in Chile. And my main work was related to education. I had to visit a lot of schools, a lot of teachers, a lot of principals. And what we did in that period was create a system to monitor attendance. And attendance is the way in which these schools have their income. So in a way, we were able to tell each municipality how much income they were having because of attendance. And we created a system to and put incentives for students to go to class. What happened was that in 1 year, 600 students were going to class because of our system. So it was very successful. We were invited to every seminar and every newspaper article was about us. But we realized that it was so limited, our impact. It was only 600 students out of 3,600,000. So then with a group of friends, we said, why don't we take care of the most vulnerable schools and manage them? And we did so. We made a huge effort, and we were able to take out of basically out of the worst situation one school that had 200 students. So what happened was that although we were successful, I was thinking to myself, okay, these are 800 students we helped in a minimal way, but there are 3,600,000. So how can we multiply this effect? How can we put this and have, I mean, and make this impact 100 and more times? And then is when I went to graduate school, and in my third week there, I went to Harvard Kennedy School. I met Wendy Kopp, and I understood what was behind Teach for America, what they call the theory of change. And the theory of change is basically saying, you know what, the leaders of tomorrow have to experience what is to be in a classroom today in order for them to advocate in innovative ways, in different ways, from different situations to change our educational system. When I understood that, I immediately rose my hand and said, you know what, why don't you take this to other countries? And then is when Wendy Kopp said, that's a good question, but you're not the first country to ask that. That is why we just hired McKinsey to answer precisely that question. And what happened was that was November of 2006. We started talking during that period with Teach for America, with McKinsey. And in August of 2007, we received the message that Teach for America and Teach First joined to create Teach for All, which basically was going to help in 2009, seven countries around the world to replicate that model. And Chile was the only country in Latin America. As they said, Chile was ready, Chile had the people, Chile had the will, Chile had the capacity, and we took the challenge. In March of 2008, one person started working, and in August of 2008, we said that was our no returning back point, where basically we invited every student in all the universities of Chile to join into this movement. Our goal was to have 500 applicants in 2 months, and what happened is that we had 700 applicants. So basically, we understood as well that Chile is ready, and as a confirmation of that, in our second year, we had 2,700 applicants. So this is already the beginning of a movement, and we are convinced that if our leaders of tomorrow go into our class today, we will have a whole society thinking of education in a different way.
Fascinating. And yes, the whole model of train the trainer program, where you can essentially impact larger groups of people, the scale that you were seeking is a kind of thing that Teach for America is so good at. And I think you hit upon the right model there because of your frustration about not reaching a larger population.
What I think the crucial thing about the Teach for America, Teach First model is that in a very simple way, although it's not easy, but in a very simple way, you can impact scale without compromising your quality. And that is amazing. I think we've seen the results, we've seen the fruits, and this theory of change is really what we believe, and I think it's the most effective way to create a systemic change.
Well, we'll talk more about the course, the first recruits, and the whole process and lessons learned. But before we go into that, talk to us a little bit about the education system in Chile. Why are there? I'm sure there are problems, just as there are in other countries. But what are some unique issues that Chile faces as far as education goes?
Let me tell you that compared to the U.S., we're far worse. First of all, in quality, we have only 1% of our students in high standards in international tests. And in search of equity, we have only 7% of our students have a good education. 93% don't have a good education. Chile has three types of schools, private schools, which are 7%. Then we have private subsidized schools, which are 43%. They are private-owned schools, but they receive a voucher of the government for every student that attends the school. And then we have 100% public schools that are owned by the municipalities. What has happened is that in the last 18 years, so you have an idea of what is happening, we've increased in five times the budget in education. But in standardized tests, we've increased 0 points, there has been any difference in terms of quality. And we've had a lot of reforms, and we have a lot of talks, a lot of debates, but the truth is that in the last decades, we haven't been able to reduce the achievement gap. As a matter of fact, the achievement gap is even increasing in spite of our efforts. So we need to think of education in a different way, and there is, and that is why I think Teach for America, the Teach for America model, Teach First model, is so appropriate for our country.
Now, when you say achievement gap, the achievement gap between your country and other countries, or between the so-called good schools and the ones that are, say, in a disadvantaged place?
Within Chile. The private schools with the other schools that account for 93% of our population.
Okay, got it. And so tell us then what the response has been. Obviously, you said that the professionals, the young professionals who want to be part of this program are very enthusiastic. You've been able to really reach out and recruit a whole lot of them. Has there been resistance in schools themselves, or are they inviting you with open arms? What has that been like?
Yeah, it has been difficult because, first of all, graduate students have responded in a very good way. But as you said, schools, they don't trust us in the beginning. This is a new program. I'm an engineer, for example. I'm not a teacher. Why should I invite other students that are not teachers to teach for 2 years? And so there's a lot of lack of trust, you would say, in the beginning. But after the first 3 months, when they see that this person every day works as hard as they can, believes in kids, and really achieve results, they say, you know what, this guy is really doing a good job. Why don't I at least observe or ask him, how is he or she doing it? And I'm sure I will learn. And the confrontation started changing into a collaboration environment. And that has been great. And because of our results, we have been able to gain the necessary trust to continue.
Now, how many schools are part of the network, or your network, or the organization?
Well, we started, that's a very good example. I mean, very good question, because we the first year we only worked in 13 schools. But the results were so significant that not only those schools asked for more teachers, but we had 140 new applications. We haven't been able to you would say, give a teacher to all the demand we've had.
And so you obviously have to ramp up at your end with staffing and resources to get this moving. And so
yes.
The next question is funding. How are you funded in this program?
We've reached out to the business community, basically, and the business community has reacted very favorable in a very positive way. But we think that this is not only a business community responsibility. We want also to work with the government, and we've been talking with the government since 2007. And after many talks, they finally gave us a very good recognition, a very big recognition, 2 months ago. We're celebrating the 200 years of our nation, and they gave us the prize for the civil sector organizations that are constructing the Chile we want. That's a prize. And today, we're having elections in our country, and we went to all the candidates and said, you know what, we want to work with you. If you're elected or if you're not elected, we want the political community to know what we're doing and basically help us grow. We need your support. And they have and all of the three candidates with more, there are four candidates, but three candidates with more probability of winning have reacted very positively.
Congratulations on getting the honor. And I think we hear this all the time, that the government really needs to step up and take responsibilities for some of this. But seeing a functioning working model will give them more incentives, I think, to some degree to be a part
of
it. So
I mean, we want to create a movement, and we've been tempted by a company saying, you know what, I have $4 million, I can fund your program for the next 4 years very easily. And we've said no. We've said no because we need to create a movement. We need a lot of businesses. We need the government. We need a lot of people joining in, knowing what is this about, and then being a huge champion. So we are working in a way to have to build in more support from different and diverse organizations.
Now, how is the Teach for All network helping in this process? There are other countries that are doing similar work, following a similar model. How is this knowledge sharing and also just resource pooling? Is any of that happening? And if so, how?
Yeah, I mean, Teach for All is fantastic because their mission is to accelerate our impact. And in innovation, what we always talk about is learning by doing, right? We have learning by doing costs that are so high that sometimes basically we fail. We fail because we're not able to have the burden of those costs. And what has happened is that Teach for All has made available all the resources, all the knowledge, all the experience of Teach for America, of 20 years and Teach First for 7 years, and say, you know what, this is what we learned in all these years. And they put a person, what they call the country relation manager, in our country, that is helping us to acquire that experience, that knowledge. And we've had a learning curve that has been so fast that has helped us basically save a lot of failures, a lot of costs that are for starting from the beginning. So Teach for All has done a huge and an amazing job, and we're very happy to be part of that network.
Now, what was something that you learned that was unique about Chile that you were actually able to take back to the group, if you will? Something that was maybe different than what was encountered in other countries?
We have been helping other countries. It's important to know that Peru will start in March of 2009, 10, sorry, and Argentina will start in 2010. So all the, you would say, expert importation, right, of the Teach for America model into a Latin American context, with the culture we have here, with the language we have here, with the different, you would say, basically culture, and has been very helpful for the other countries in Latin America to start with. We have also been, I would say, innovative on management, the way to track results, the way to manage things. And we have also been innovative in software. We have created very good software to select our people, to track our people, and we are very happy to share that with other countries if they think this is helpful for them.
Tell us about that, the software both for recruitment and tracking of, you know, gathering.
Yeah, for example, imagine what if we have 2,700 applicants and you have a staff of 11 people to evaluate all of that. So we have, we created a software that was able to track and create data of this of these people in a very sophisticated way in order for us to select immediately out of those 2,700 which were the you would say the applicants that had a higher probability of being selected, and then we were able to go to them and help them finish their application and do a good job. And second, we were able to, in a very fast way, to select the 290 applicants that were going to be interviewed. So it helped us a lot to save time and have very good information of the processes we were doing.
And in the evaluation space, let's talk about evaluation in general. How do you know that your intervention or the training has worked? Firstly, and secondly, you talked about technology and use of software in that regard. Tell us about that.
Well, first of all, I would say it's important to create in the culture of the organization the need of evaluating performance. In most of the NGOs, sometimes we tend to skip that task. And I know that evaluating things that NGOs do is difficult, but we need to make the effort from the first day, and we did so, and we were able to incentivate or motivate the IDB, the International Development Bank, for them to make an external evaluation of the impact we're having in each of our classes. So now we have a control group, and we have the treatment group, basically that is the group of students that are with our teachers. And since May of this last year, we've been tracking the results of our students. So we will be able, our evaluation will finish on April of next year. We will be able to basically be accountable for this and show the results to all the people who are in a way not confident of what we're doing. And I'm sure that it will be very positive.
And so you talked about being a small staff, which is, again, typical of a nonprofit organization, especially the one that's in an early stage. I mean, you have a pretty large number of schools and recruits. How do you ensure quality in both the training that's happening and also, you know, there are grievances and things that need to be resolved, issues and so on? How does the staff work on that, or is it more of a hands-off approach after a point? How was that?
Yeah, I think your question is great because that in a way talks about the value of the Teach for All network. We ensure our quality because our selection process is very rigorous. Our training process and our support process are very efficient, and that is only because Teach for America has tried it and has had the burden of the learning by doing course for 20 years, Teach First for 7 years. So because we are replicating a process and a model that has been already proved, we have been able to have huge success in our first year. We have a small staff because the only thing we have to do is select, train, and support, which is not easy, but is very efficient, and that is why our cost, for example, per core member is very low compared to other programs that are similar, and we have a much higher impact.
Interesting. Now, what is your vision for 5 years from now? Where do you want Enseña Chile to be 5 years from now?
Well, I want to be as fast as possible. Today, Chile has 15 regions. We are only working in 3 regions, and I want to be in the rest of Chile as fast as possible, increase our scale, hopefully to 500 to 800 core members, but never compromise the quality. I need to have significant impact in my students with every core member I have. So I cannot grow if I'm not sure about that. And that is our main challenge now.
Yes, the whole balance between quality and scale. It's a perennial challenge. Will you be involved with the activities in Peru and Argentina and some of the other countries? And
I'm not responsible for them, but I would love to share the knowledge, the experiences, the failures and the success we've had, because I'm sure they will be helpful for Argentina and for Peru. And hopefully Brazil and Ecuador and Mexico. And we hope that Latin America as a continent is an example, because we are now the continent with the highest, you would say, inequality in terms of opportunities. And we want to be, therefore, the first continent to take a stand and generate a movement of people that take this as a personal responsibility and that will work for this to change.
And so for entrepreneurs who are looking to take a model, any model, Teach for America, Teach First is a great example, but there are several models, whether it's in health, energy, education, and replicate in a different country, what would be some of your advice points, if you will? What guidance would you give to the entrepreneur?
It's a very interesting question, and I will give you a counterintuitive answer. What most people tend to say is, okay, because my country is different and my culture is different, we should do things differently. I would say that try to innovate the least as possible when you replicate a model, especially if that model has been proved for many years. What tends to happen is that because you don't understand the model enough, you try to change things. I would say don't change things till you really, really understand what is happening. And that is the temptation. We try to change things. We try to accommodate things. And we don't give ourselves the time to really understand the grasp and the whole thinking that's behind what are the actions of the model. In the case of our model, Teach for America has been for so many years that what I've learned is that when I try to innovate, in the end, what has happened is that I realize that the problem is not the model itself, but me not understanding it. So I really have to understand it in order to implement it correctly. And if then things don't work, then I do the innovation, but not in the other way around.
That is not counterintuitive at all. I think that's very smart and something that more entrepreneurs would be wise to keep in mind. So on that note, greatly appreciate your time, Thomas, for being with us. Big work ahead, but also you've had some great first successes, good recognition. So I think you're definitely on the right track. We look forward to connecting with you, maybe even talking to the people in Peru and Argentina in a year or two, because I'm sure that's going to get off the ground as well. So exciting about Latin America taking the lead on some of this, and good luck as you go forward.
Thank you very much, Sheila. I think what you are doing is great to inspire, to motivate, and to share the knowledge of what is happening in the entrepreneurship and in the innovation world. All the best, and thank you very much for your interview.
Thank you. This is your host, Sheila Sethuraman, and you were listening to Design for Change.
You've been listening to an interview by Sheila Sethuraman in the Design for Change series.
Sheila Sethuraman is a correspondent of the Center for Social Innovation, a department of the Stanford Graduate School of Business that educates leaders to solve the world's toughest social and environmental issues. She asked accomplished social entrepreneurs how they design and run their organizations for impact.
The post-production audio engineer for this program was Sheila Sethuraman. Our website editor was Marguerite Rigoglioso. The series producer is Ashkan Jafari.
This is Chris Deigelmeyer
and Eric Nee on Social Innovation Conversations.
Thank you for listening.